comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Cut the chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling.
Welcome to finally a new edition of the Backdoor Cover Podcast with your host, Keith Fleming. That's me. And my main man, Alan, a.k.a. Actively Lazy, a.k.a. the man with the stats. Alan, what's up? It's good to be back, man.
Yeah, man, it's a great time to start. I finally got a win.
Did you miss me? Tell me the truth.
No, I didn't miss you at all.
I didn't think so. That's what I was worried that answer was going to be. Man, I do really appreciate Alan holding down our gambling podcast while me and his mortal enemy, Joe Matz, were doing the weekly daily fantasy football podcast. We're going to today only cover golf. We're just going to do a short podcast on the Genesis Open or Invitational. Excuse me. It's not the Genesis Open anymore. Mainly because last week, Alan hit Daniel Berger. I also told you before the tournament started, I really liked Berger at the odds he was at. And this is a great event. You've got this, it, for those that don't know, I'll get into that when I get in the intro, but, so we're going to just do a podcast strictly on the Genesis Invitational. Next week, I think we're going to do NBA futures. Obviously we'll continue to cover the PGA Tour week to week, and we may even get to where we do shorter podcasts and just cover the sport, one sport at a time, because I think that, might be better to kind of share on Twitter and groups and stuff like that. So let's get right into it. The Genesis Invitational this week is the end of the West Coast Swing. It's at the famed Riviera Country Club. Last year, Alan made fun of me for picking Adam Scott, who went on to win at 33-1. That was actually my best tournament of the year. I had Scott at 33-1, and then Sung Kang, who, trust me, I will be talking about again this year, gave me a top, I don't know if it was a top 10 or a top 5 at 20-1. I actually think it was a top 10 at 20-1. He almost won the tournament, finishing second. But anyway, this event has a host in Tiger Woods. Unfortunately, my boy will not be there after his latest surgery. Yikes. However, because Woods' name has evolved as a host, it has elevated the status. This tournament is invite only. It carries 50 extra points to the winner than a normal tour event. Because of that, it is a loaded field. There's only 120 players teeing it up. That's good for DraftKings lineups. It's good for the players in the field because it's going to be easier to make a cut than most weeks. 65 in ties, just like any other week. So, I mean, you don't have to get in the top half to make the cut. Riviera is the famed course. It has hosted an event almost every year on the PGA Tour since its original in 1929 with the LA Open. It's a very long course at 7,300 yards. It's a par 71. It has six par fours that play 450 yards or more. Throw in a 236-yard par three, and even the longest hitters on tour are going to be really testing some of their middle and long irons. Obviously, that's going to play a factor. This is a course that does not have punishing rough, and because of that, you're going to see players just bombing driver all week. This has led to driving distance being a very key factor in recent winners. Just over the last four tournaments here, Adam Scott, J.B. Holmes, Dustin Johnson, Bubba have won. That, as you can tell, is bombers. So we're going to be looking for guys to hit it long. This course is Kakua grass. This should give an advantage to any Aussies, Koreans, and South Africans. They are used to playing off of this. That is what the tee boxes and fairways will be in the rough. The greens are Alan's least favorite, Poana, as well as the tour player's least favorite, Poana. For those that don't know, they're just really tricky. They get really bumpy in the afternoon. Something to look for is maybe if your guy has an early draw on the day that maybe the weather's better, that could be an advantage because the greens do. They get really bumpy as the day goes on and the grass grows. This is a course that you don't see a lot of high numbers, but for that matter, you don't see a lot of birdies either. And then to make it even more unique, it has more eagles than most events on tour. So it's kind of crazy to think that there's not a lot of birdies here, but there is a lot of eagles. There will be kind of a little warmer temperatures. I should say warmer. It's going to be 65, maybe 70. I think Friday, Saturday, but in the 60s, maybe the 70s. And then a core success at the following venues can help give you insight to what type of players will have success here. These are some that I've compared to: TPC Sawgrass, Torrey Pines, Augusta National, and actually where they just played the Waste Management a few weeks ago with the TPC Scottsdale. Do you want to go over to guys with good course history, or do you want to add some more things that you're looking for going into this week?
What I was saying before the show started, there's high odds on a lot of people that over if people have been following golf, and especially from a gambling perspective, if you've been following it, I would say since the first tournament in January, you're getting odds on guys in previous tournaments that we're talking like 3 to 4 times less than what they are now. And I think this is the type of field and type of tournament where you could really flip a profit. If you honestly don't know who you want to pick as a winner, you could just play the props, man. There's mm-hmm. there's a lot of guys that are in this 200, 150, 130 to 1 range that if you flip that to a top 20 prop, you're probably looking at a 5 to 1, 6 to 1, 7 to 1 area. Where you could really turn a profit on guys who are in like good form right now.
So really good form.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I don't like Poana. I've never played golf, but I get frustrated as a gambler because I too am watching it on TV. I'm seeing in some of the angles, you know, I'm not an expert at reading greens, but I can kind of tell. It's not like I've never been on a golf course or anything like that. Like I have an understanding of like the bare basics. And I'm looking at it the same way Justin Thomas is my favorite one that does is like moving my arm to the left. Like, what the hell? Like, I don't understand Poana greens either. Like,
they're unpredictable. They really are.
And the thing about them that really frustrates me, too, is like you can't predict the speed. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand the bumps and the turns and things like that. That's fine. But you give so many shots back because you hit a ball and you're like, that's good contact. That's nice pace. And then it just rolls 6-7 feet further than what you anticipated. And then you got to come back uphill. And it's just ugly. But I always get sad when the West Coast swing ends because I don't have to do much work in the afternoons.
That's right.
Watch golf. But
that's so true.
Yeah, I was just gonna tell everybody, you know, I'm glad to have a show back. But you know, be patient. Mm-hmm. The season's churning along, but honestly, to me, golf doesn't really get serious until the Masters. So everything mm-hmm. up until then is basically practice. You're seeing who's in form, who's doing what. Jordan Spieth worked with a swing coach. He's changing his swing. He's actually turning the corner a little, getting more competitive. It just hasn't all come together yet. But oddsmakers are taking note of that because he's 33-1 right now.
That's insane.
A guy like Ricky Fowler, who's also kind of working on his swing and going in the opposite direction a little bit, he's at 110-1. Gary Woodland's coming back from an injury-riddled season last year. He's supposedly trying to get healthy. He's at 80-1. And then we got my guy Brooks, who probably would have been in this 40 to 50 range had he not won with pretty much an epic shot at the Waste Management. He's now at 22-1. So, you know, their odds makers are adjusting just like players are adjusting too. And obviously we're not athletes of the golfer's caliber, but you have to take that into consideration as a gambler too. You got to make adjustments and just stay current.
So a couple of things. First of all, it's funny that you mentioned that the odds are so good this week. The reverse effect was in effect last week because it was a very weak field. And I mean, like a guy like Brandon Still last week was 40-1 to win an event. And I'm looking at that going, what in the world is going on? But you do need to notice that the stronger fields, the better odds. Obviously, I think there was an event earlier this year with DJ that I think he actually won where he was like 6-1. But that was kind of a weaker field. So I completely agree with Alan that, you know, weeks like this is where you can really make hay because, I mean, you can get a guy like Bubba, who I'm going to go ahead and tell you he's one of my picks to win at 40-1. He's won here twice, and this field is tailor-made for him, and you're getting him at 40-1, and you're not normally going to get that for a guy who has two wins in the last, you know, 6-7 years at an event. The other thing with the Poa Green, it's something that I always try to pay attention to, which is a stat that people don't look at a lot. You heard me say there's not going to be a ton of birdies. Mm-hmm. Lag putting is so important on Poana greens because you do not want to have 4 to 6, 4 to 7 footers, especially late in the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday. They're very difficult to make, even for these pros. So guys that are very good lag putters that can, you know, consistently get their speed up, you see them have a lot of tap ins from a long way. That can be very important in an event on Poa greens. But just real quickly, I wanted to go over some guys with good course history. So DJ, I mean, it's pretty much every event that he plays in, but DJ in his last 5, tied 10th, tied 9th, tied 16th, 1st and 4th here. Rory's got a good history, tied 5th, tied 4th, tied 20th, tied 20th. Rahm in his 2 trips, tied 17th, tied 9th. DeChambeau, who is probably my favorite play this week, he finished 40th. He missed the cut, or withdrew technically, 4 years ago, then 41st, then 15th 2 years ago, 5th this last year. Cantley's another guy, 3 trips here, 4th, 15th, 17th. Hideki's a guy that he had a did not play and a miscut in between, but in his other 3 starts here, tied 11th, tied 9th, tied 5th. Scott won last year. Previously had finished tied 7th, 53rd, 11th, and 2nd. Max Homa is a guy that's had 2 good trips here of 37th and 5th. Ortiz has had in his 3 career starts no worse finish than 26. John Hahn, who's playing very well right now, he's finished in 3 starts here, 13th, 14th, 28th. Poston, JT, another guy's playing really well. Finished tied 30th, tied 28th, tied 17th in his 3 starts here. Luke List, who's another guy I really like this week. He's had 1 miscut in his 5 starts here, then tied 20th, tied 26th, tied 15th, tied 30th. Kuchar, who is not playing great but has a great track record here, tied 2nd, tied 28th, tied 22nd, tied 26th, tied 8th. And then there's some interesting ones. Kyung Hong Lee, who I know I'm going to butcher that name, but he's had 2 starts here, both in the top 25. He's finished 25th and 13th. Vaughn Taylor, 3 starts here, tied 20th, tied 9th, tied 13th. Patrick Rogers, another guy that is really struggling right now, but a tied 22nd, tied 26th, tied 15th, tied 30th. My man Kang, who was probably my favorite play of all time last year when I had him, I think it was 20-1 to top 10. He finished 2nd. He's finished 2nd, 64, 16th, 22nd, and 8th. That's what I was talking about last year. He's got a good track record here. And then Martin Laird, who, again, is another guy not playing great, and he has been trending in the wrong direction. His last 2 tournaments here, he missed the cut and tied 43rd. But in the 3 previous years of 19, 18, and 17, he finished 9th, 8th, and 11th. So there is a good bit of guys that have a really good track record here. And again, you'll notice most of these guys are all ball strikers. Most of them hit the ball a decent length. Is there any of those guys that right off the bat that I just listed that we know have played well here before?
Top 20 props on guys with substantial course history, primarily the year before. I kind of flirted with it the first tournament of the year, and I got a 6-1. And I've been doing that like every week, and I've been hitting some good ones. I just barely missed last week 7-1 on Taylor, but I ended up getting like the plus 550 on my guy Lashley. So and it was just based off of looking at last year's tournament, where people finished, looking to see if they were in the top 10-ish area, then you can kind of.
Particularly if they're a surprise, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not
yeah,
one of those big
yeah.
names. Yep.
Yeah, you could take a good educated guess swing at somebody hitting top 20. So the couple that stood out to me was obviously your guy King, and then Joel Damon and Taylor Gooch and James Hahn. James Hahn definitely stands out because I think he's probably in the best form of all those guys that are in the back there, and he's shown, at least to me, he's shown this year that he can put together some really good scores. And he's also coming off of a tournament where there was Poana greens, bent Poana greens, and things. So he's kind of had a mixture of everything already. Mm-hmm. Because he's been so active. And then, you know, kind of funny. Carlos Ortiz was actually in my like long shot range. He's
playing really well.
Yeah, he's playing really well, but he's just kind of funny about it. Like, he doesn't seem like it, even when he plays really well, it's not good enough for him. But when I was on Joaquin Niemann, I was also kind of on Carlos Ortiz. And like, obviously Niemann shot four because he got his win early and people got his name out there. But Ortiz, to me, wasn't too far off from him. Ability-wise, he just hasn't gotten that signature win yet. So you can still get really good odds on him. And then Wyndham Clark, I played him earlier this year on a course that favored a driver. I think he's one of the, like, quietly one of the top drivers by distance on the tour. I think that was why I played him. I have to go back and look at my notes. But he stood out to me on a driver-heavy course before, so I made sure to put him on my list to check out again to see how he fits on this course. If we're talking about courses that you don't get penalized for missing the fairway, you pretty much can't count out anybody unless they're just like super erratic off the tee, which Jordan Spieth fit that for me last year.
One time
we were watching,
he should not be 33-1. I'm happy for Spieth. I'm rooting for him, but he should not be 33-1 at this field.
He hit it so far off the course one time. It was the most ridiculous thing. And I couldn't understand it either.
No, the shot that he hit at the British Open the year he won, he was on the fucking driving range. It was like 60 yards right.
But to his credit, I think he's adjusted to that. So it's just a matter of him putting it all together. But yeah, those big names or those big numbers, like I said, that are at the bottom of the to win odds are probably your best chance to get some good money on the top 20s.
So then I went over some guys that have been playing well. I mean, obviously you got, you know, JT in his only start this calendar year is what I'm saying. He's obviously got a good, Rory's got two good finishes. Rahm's got two, a top 10. Xander's got two top fives. Cantley's got two top fives. Finau's got a top five. Spieth's got a top five. Niemann, obviously. Hovland in his only start, top five. Leishman has got two, top 30 or better starts. Top 25s or better. Then you get down to some of the others and just guys that are playing well right now. Ortiz, somebody we just mentioned. He's already got three top 30s just in this calendar year. Cameron Triangle is playing very good. He's got three top 20s in the last calendar year. Cameron Davis, another guy. He's got four starts in the top 32 just since January. Kevin Streelman has got two top 25s, three performances inside the top 37. Norlander is a very hot guy right now. He's got four top 26s. I think that goes back to November. Harmon has got three top 40s in a row. Burns, three top 40s in a row. Poston's got two top 20s in a row. List has three top 30s. Steele has been playing very well. He's got four straight top 35s. Cal Stanley's got four straight top 40s. And then Neesmith has got two straight top 20s. And then the one that I had a hard time finding odds for him on top 20 or top 10. Do you ever see them just take guys off the board? Because Doug Gim, he's got three top 37s in his last three starts, two top 21s. I ended up having to go to FanDuel because, you know, my bookie does not yet have the top 10 and top 20s up. I could not find Gim for a top 20, which is something I really wanted to play. Do they sometimes just not include people, maybe because?
It probably has to be adjusted. I've seen where there are people who are in the 100-1 range to win, but you go for a top 20 prop. Typically, if you're like 101 to win the tournament outright, for a top 20, you're about between 5-7-1. Mm-hmm. And then you will see that they've adjusted it because of the person's like history with the course or some little nuance within the course, and they'll be like 3-1. And you'll be like, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't add up. But it's just them kind of covering their ass. I would say Doug Gim, I don't know why he's not on there. He's 200-1 to win it outright. I don't know why he's not on the top 20 just yet, but there's probably something going on in the data that the odds makers have that make them want to make sure they adjust it accordingly.
So for the guys that, I mean, can win, obviously, to me, Johnson, Thomas, McElroy, Rahm, DeChambeau, and Shoffley. Those are the ones that I could easily see winning this tournament. Both with the way they've been playing, their stats on these type golf courses. But if I'm picking a guy to win, I can't believe DeChambeau is 16-1 on a course that he's done better each time he's played here. He's done that on several places on tour where each time he plays a course, he gets a little bit better. He's not going to be penalized for spraying it if he is. He putts well enough on Poana greens to where, I mean, it's actually slightly above what it is on regular events. I just think the odds you're getting with him at 16-1, even with him, you know, having taken some time off, we know DeChambeau is the kind of guy that, I mean, he's going to spend that time working his ass off, whether it be in the gym, on the driving range, you know, around the greens. He's my favorite play of the top tier at 16-1. Which one of those guys is your favorite play this week of the big boys?
I wrote him down. I thought about it. I honestly don't have a problem with Bryson. It's just his head, man. You never know what's going on in his head. Like, he's definitely got the talent. I'll say this. I don't want to pick Xander as my top guy because there's some underlining issues with his game. Even though he's obviously leading the tour right now in FedEx points, he's a top five, top ten, like, killer. But he's not winning tournaments. And the reason why he's not winning tournaments is because his average distance to the pin once he hits the greens is like 27 feet.
Particularly with his wedges have not been good lately.
Yeah, like that's what bothers me. Like, yeah, if you look at that group, he's actually higher on driving statistics than mm-hmm. Bryson is.
Dude, he is distance, bulked up this yeah. season. He has gained so much distance off the tee.
But I will say I probably trust Bryson more around the greens right now, so that's why I'm going to notch him a little.
And Xander has straight up said that, I mean, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but he has now said that they got to figure out. I mean, he made the point right after Brooks won that tournament 2 weeks ago that I've got to figure out how to do what Brooks did today, which is to close out a tournament. Because, you know, yeah. I'm here all the time, but I got to figure out how to do that more often. Brooks showed why he has four majors and I have zero. And, I mean, I loved hearing it. I just hope that it's not something where it's a negative thing in his mind. It's something that he just realizes he's got to improve on that. And everybody says his work ethic is just through the roof. And it's going to end up being a positive thing that he's just putting it out there.
Yeah, I've been a fan since day one. So I'm not worried that he won't figure it out. I just can't keep putting up the money for it to wait for it.
Amen.
But I think he's also really good on fast greens. His numbers on Poana are okay. But you pick Bryson. I will say I would pick Bryson too, but for the sake of the show, just to kind of give people a different feel, I'm going to go with Justin Thomas at 12-1. He has a tendency to really come out in these situations and separate himself from everybody else. I don't know if the course history is quite there, but I just kind of have like a gut feeling that this will be a tournament where we've got the names that would motivate him. And I think it's just one of those scenarios again where we will see the best Justin Thomas.
And just to let everybody know again, DJ should be the favorite. His track record here, the way he's been playing, he seems to have like finally reached that like superstar status. And I do expect him to win another major this year. But at plus 550, I think you're crazy in a field this stacked to take him. Like, it's just, I mean, you're getting 12, 13 to, you know, 15. I've even seen Bryson actually on FanDuel was 18-1. I mean, you can get better odds on some of these guys, and they may not be equally as likely to win as DJ, but it's not the difference of the return that you're getting on your investment. That next group of guys to me is like kind of crazy. So you've got Koepka, Finau, Scott, Hovland, Morikawa, Niemann, Spieth, Bubba, Hideki, and Scheffler are kind of all in that bunch group, depending on what site you're looking at. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if we're talking about winning, and this is no offense, but you can throw out Finau, you can throw out Spieth, because what have we said? These guys have not won in so long that it's like they've got to prove to me they're going to win before I'm going to keep laying money on them. I've been fooled too many times. If you want to bet them to top 10, top 5, top 20, I got no problem with that, but I'm not going to do it. Adam Scott, it's tough to go back-to-back. You know Adam Scott is my boy. He loves his venue. I don't think I can bet on them two years in a row. The guys that I like from this group, there's three of them, and they're going to be in my picks to win. I love Victor Hovland. This is a course that is set up perfect for him. He's never played here. That doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, he's played well on a lot of tracks his first time around. I mean, he did great at Pebble, which is a course in the U.S. Open that traditionally you have to play there to do well. I think he finished like tied 12th. I love Bubba Watson. Anytime you get a venue that you can drive it, there's no rough. He's won twice here. He's got a great track record. And then Hideki, to me, anytime it's a ball striking course and you're getting these kind of odds, I mean, on FanDuel, he's 43-1. On my bookie, he's 33-1. I like both of those odds. I love them at 43-1. Those are my three guys in that range that I would take. Is there anybody that you like better, or am I missing here?
Victor Hovland has a lot of Xander-like stats on Poana Greens. He's also really good on West Coast venues, something that I think gets downplayed a lot on tour. But, I mean, having literally bet the West Coast swing for the last, like, 4 years, I'm telling you, guys who are from Cali – went, in Rom's case, he went to Arizona State. Yeah,
Tiger's won so many times out west.
Guys who are from out west do really well out west, and there's enough data for Hovland saying that he's pretty solid out west. I would definitely give him a look. He's not bad on driver heavy courses. Honestly, the only thing you could downplay on his game right now, if you look at some of the stats, is just how well he plays in the wind. Mm-hmm. Still has a little struggle with that, but I mean, that's to me something that comes with experience. Hovland, and then Scotty Scheffler, man, he's been playing some good golf. Yeah, he hasn't won yet, but I think at some point he's going to break through, and he's another guy that, again,
course sets up well for him.
Yeah, if we have a course that sets up well for him, and we have a course that people are scoring, you can anticipate that he'll be there. He'll be up there somewhere.
So the next group of guys, and we'll probably just go to this one, then we'll go to long shots. I do want to also go over I did some DraftKings tiers along with our picks. You've got Max Homa, who's both played well recently. He's also, like we said, finished top five here last year. Leishman, this is a course he typically plays well on. Sergio is a guy that's kind of hard to figure out. Like, this should be a course that sets up well for Sergio. I mean, he's a ball striker, he drives the ball well, but I don't know if I can trust Sergio. It's been a while since we've seen him. Carlos Ortiz, you got Answer. Cameron Triangle is a guy I actually really do like in this range. Kevin Na, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Matthew Wolf, Russell Henley, Cameron Smith, Cameron Davis. The only guy I'm going, because I went heavy where I got DeChambeau, and then I went kind of Headley in that second tier of Hovland, Hideki, Bubba. So Ortiz is the only guy that I've got kind of in this range that I'm picking to flat out win, and both on FanDuel and my bookie, he's at 70-1. I just think that's incredible value for a guy that, again, I mean, he's had three straight top 30s, and then in his three starts here, 26, 9, 26. I like Ortiz this week a lot.
Well, he was 70-1 when I was looking at it earlier. He's 60-1 now, so his odds are dropping. I mean, yeah, Ortiz is the guy that, like I was saying, he's been playing some really good golf. I mean, I don't know how else to, like, I can't hype him up any more than I already have. I was looking at Abraham Answer, and I got turned off because he's not really good on driver heavy courses.
And he's not had a lot of success in his two trips here either.
Yeah. And then I was wondering about Max Homa. Homa. But looking at him for a prop, he's been playing some good golf. He's another guy who has a West Coast, I think, background a little.
He does.
He can drive the ball.
He just got a putt. If he puts, that's why I do like him on Poana courses, is because I'm not saying it, you know, takes skill out of it, but I just think that it's harder to make putts. And because of that, when you got a guy that is just, I mean, he is one of the top ball strikers on tour. His big issue week to week is putting. That's going to help him this week. That's going to give him kind of a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, but, you know, we've discussed putting on here before, in a sense where there are times where guys, if they can just get everything else together. I mean, Adam Scott's a testament to this. He ain't a good putter, but everything else goes well. You know what? There's a tournament from time to time where he can win just because the rest of his game is really good. Not putting Homa on the same level as Scott, but just saying when we cap, sometimes we might overemphasize the importance of putting, especially on courses where people can put up a pretty big number.
And actually, I apologize. I am actually looking now at the Poana putting numbers, and this is just for this year. But Homa is actually 24th on tour on Poana greens. He's had 7 rounds. Bubba is 9th, and he's had 11 rounds, which that's definitely something you want to see. Kevin Na's another guy that's got a ton of rounds logged, and he's a really good putter on them. The guy that now I think I'm going to talk myself into seeing this is Cameron Triangle. He is 3rd on Poana greens. That's with 9 rounds. He's 14th on tour on strokes gained total on courses that are 7,400 yards or longer. And I think I'm going to add Cameron Triangle. That's going to be the one pick that I did not officially have in that range that I am going to add him to my list of picks.
Is it Triangle or Tringle?
Well, you know I'm a country bumpkin, so I have no idea. I'm a country bumpkin too.
I just don't have the draw anymore.
But it's probably Tringale, actually. Yeah. Looking at it now, but Triangle sounds so much cooler.
I almost picked him last week, and I picked Maverick instead. But he does have pretty decent numbers. And one thing I want to say too, if I can, you. Sure. Can't overemphasize people who are comfortable on Poana greens.
Yep.
We can't overemphasize, you know, how much putting plays a part in the overall outcome of certain tournaments. Poana greens, I will say, would be the exception to that, because again, it's just something that what I've seen, having bet constantly on these courses, it's all about what people are comfortable with. And there are some people who are just comfortable with Poana greens, and there are some people who, for the life of them, just can't figure it out. Patrick Reed is a key example of somebody who, for some reason, is the most comfortable golfer on tour when it comes to Poana greens, 9 times out of 10. And if you look at a lot of his big showings in certain tournaments, especially when he comes back, when he's down by like when he's not even anywhere near the final group, but he charges back over the weekend, and a lot of those courses are Poana green courses. So you can't overemphasize that angle in tournaments like this with that particular green type.
And I know that was before you really got into watching golf, but that was Tiger Woods. I mean, there was a stretch in the early and mid to late 2000s where pretty much if it was Poana greens, Tiger was going to win or top 5. And it's because he always putted great on them. So mm-hmm. I've got 2 long shots that I want to list, and then obviously I want you to list any that you're. Mine are Norlander and Luke List. Norlander has not played this venue, but he is – I just love the way he's trending right now. I was really impressed this weekend because he's played well, I think, the last 4 events, but he had a really shaky Thursday and Friday, and then he came back very strong over the weekend, which just tells me – he's really found something in his golf game, because again, that's 4 quality starts in a row. And I like the way he had a really strong finish to get back into the top 20 last week. And then Luke List is just a guy that, again, he's had 3 straight top 30s. And then he's also got a great track record here. I mean, his last 3 events, 30th, 15th, and 26th here. He had a miscut 4 years ago and then 20th. So, I mean, he's finished in the top 30 4 out of the last 5 years. He's playing well now. and list as somebody that can move the golf ball. The course conditions are going to, you know, set up towards his game. And again, Kang almost won this tournament last year. So this is a tournament that you will see unusual guys kind of pop up and occasionally win. I know it's been a few years. J.B. Holmes won, I believe, 4 years ago. It was the last time kind of we had a real surprise winner. But it can happen. So those are my two long shot plays. Do you have any?
I'll support Norlander. I've bet him. Shoot, I bet him a while ago. I'm talking like last year on some courses. When he's in form, he's in form, and I really like him. Let's see. You know, a guy that honestly, I might be a homer for this because he went to VCU, but I like Lanto Griffin. Mm-hmm. For a look this week. There was a tournament earlier this year. I think it was similar in setup as far as like being easy on the driver and just not necessarily that much difficulty with the course setup and the elements, particularly water and bunkers and things like that. So when it's pretty much an open course, Lanto's pretty solid. And I've seen him take on what people would consider a hard course and own it. Granted, it was probably his best performance ever. And I think I won that at 60. He was like 60-1 or something like that. But I think he's got a good head on his shoulder. He's been working with Vijay Singh. And I think it's really helped his game. I don't know if a lot of people were aware of that. But again, I'm kind of a homer because he went to VCU and I follow him on Twitter and stuff like that. I actually follow Max Homa as well because he's funny. But Lanto's really been putting in work. He's 110-1. I don't think he would win per se. But again, we're talking about people that we would throw like $10 on for a long shot. I think he's somebody that you could definitely take a look at.
He picked up 2.5 strokes on the field last year putting at this venue.
Yeah, and that is the strength of his game for sure, is the approach shots and the putts. So again, if we can just get him off the tee real well, which I don't see him having a problem with that right now, whatever him and VJ have been working on, when I watched them play this year, I thought he was a different golfer. So I really like it.
Any other long shots?
I'm looking at Lashley like, you hurt me last week, bro. I would probably have to post it in the group because a lot of these guys, when I do pick long shots, there's got to be something that I can key on. I'll go ahead and say Von Taylor, 200-1. You could take a look at him. He does pretty well on Poana Greens, to my knowledge, and he's pretty good off the tee as well, distance wise. So I would give him a look. And then, you know, we talked about James Hahn at 110-1. He didn't put any confidence that he could close out after the waste management tournament, but he did pretty well. Maverick McNealy, a guy who's probably going to have pretty good West Coast stats at some point. As more data comes out on him. After the way he played last week, I think you have to give him a solid look this week as well. And he, even in his interview, he seemed really focused and seemed to have a good understanding of where he went wrong during the course of last week's tournament. So it's kind of somebody whose head is really in the game right now. And he's young, and he's not going to be deterred or intimidated by this field because nobody expects him to win anyway. So I would definitely give him a look as well.
Okay. So I'm going to go over real quick my top 5, top 10, and top 20. Again, my win picks or picks to win were DeChambeau, Hovland, Hideki, Bubba, Ortiz, which I guess I need to place that now because I've lost from 71-60-1 just since we were doing this podcast, either Tringale or Triangle, probably Tringale, Norlander, and Luke Liss. The top five, I mean, Xander at 3-1 to top five, I got to take that. I mean, he's played so well this season. I think he has a top five in practically every event since the calendar turned. And then Max Homa, who I did not take to win, but I have them both to top five and top 10. He's 10-1 to top 5, 6-1 to top 10. I have Hideki to top 10 at plus 360. Kyung-Hon Lee is 10-1 to top 10. He is both last year he picked up 10 strokes on the field putting. I like that. He's also a very good win player. And then I have Luke List at 11-1. And again, I'm going back to back with my man Kang. He's 23-1 to top 10. He's actually higher odds this year than he was last year. Has a great track record of this track. And then my top 20 plays are Norlander at plus 360, Neesmith at 5-1, Kyle Stanley at 6-1. I got to take Kang again at 10-1. And then the one that's probably not a good decision, but I love his record here is Martin Laird, who, again, he had three top tens in consecutive years. Granted, that was 2 years ago. He missed the cut and had a top 43 the last 2 years. But, I mean, I love it when a guy has that kind of track record. That was kind of why I was all over Kang last year. Despite the 64th finish going into the tournament last year, he had a 16th, 22nd, and 8th the three previous years. I just think that if a guy has that kind of, you know, if you have three top 15s at a venue, you obviously really like the track. So if you're getting, you know, again, I'm getting plus 850, why not? So those are my prop bets.
Yeah, I would say shoot your shot on props this week. And again, I don't mind posting something more specific. I have hit I think I've been betting since the first tournament in January. We are in the second week of February. I've hit a prop or third week of February. I've hit a prop in all but two tournaments, and the props were about 5-1 minimum. And then I got the win.
The win, Steve. Yeah. Especially because you've had the second streak, and that reminded me of last year before we got
Literally got second. I actually went back and looked, and I have had second place or the second place person since the second tournament of the year. But it was also because last week there was no way I was getting second. One of them was going to win. So that was great.
You wish it would have been Lashley, but
I know. But I was going to say, these are the type of tournaments where I get really hyped, and sometimes I'll just say for on my end, I will say, you know, rather than taking a shot on the 5-10, I'll add more pot to my top 20s and spread that out a little more and really try to take advantage of these like big odd people that, again, you can really find certain things about people's game that fit courses, and you can really make a decent amount just off the props alone. So your guy Keegan Bradley's down there. I'm surprised you didn't say anything about him.
I was going to, but he just the last two times I've mentioned him for a turn, he shit the bed. So I did not want, and I like Keegan Bradley just personally. I think he's a cool dude. Yeah. So, you know, we have those players that we seem to curse every time we mention them or one of our picks. I didn't want to do that to Keegan.
Yeah. And There's one guy, they had an article a couple weeks ago about Poana Greens on the PGA Tour website, and I don't think it was Brendan Steele. I want to say it was Snedeker.
Snedeker does putt
I hadn't seen his odds, but I'm assuming, all right, he's plus 225-1. So he's 225-1. I was going to say, that's the type of golfer, if you're looking for an angle and you want to just go strictly by angle, even if you're looking at DFS, just check his history on Poana Greens. I mean, he might be somebody that you can plug in at the end of a lineup and you know, he won't miss the cut, hopefully. And then you can really make some good points off of him.
So real quick, I do want to go over just some DraftKings guys because we had a lot of success in football. Golf is actually, honestly, I think, easier than football. Do single entries again. Single entries. Do not get into the big ones. You're going to be going against spreadsheets when I started doing really good football. Like, I even think that, and again, I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but if say you're going to spend $40 in DraftKings lineups, do a $33 entry. and not like $3, $5 or $3, $10. You're going to have better success doing higher value with smaller fields. It just gives you a better chance of obviously winning. It increases your odds. So I'm not going to go over into much detail, but I'm just going to give you four tiers and the guys I like, three names. So for the top tier, which is from the top price at $11,300 down to $9,100, I like Brandon or DeChambeau this week, $10,100. I love Tony Finau. Don't like him to win, but I love him in DraftKings. He's 9,300. He almost never misses a cut. He has great stats, makes a bunch of birdies. And then Hideki at 9,100. The next tier from 9,000 to 8,100, Bubba Watson, 8,900. Somebody we did not mention, but I really do like, is Cameron Smith this week, 8,400. Wolf is another guy we didn't mention at 8,100. This course should suit him well. But he missed the cut here last year. I know that makes people nervous. That was his only start. But I would take definitely a flyer on Wolf at 8,100 in DraftKings with his distance and his ability to make birdies. Tier three is from 8,000 to 7,100. I have Tringale at 7,600. See, I figured it out. Cameron Davis at 7,500, who's playing great. And Luke List at 7,300. And then I really like these three guys at tier four or 7,000 and below. You get Kyle Stanley at 7,000, who's been very consistent lately. Doug Gims, same boat, 6,900. And then Vaughn Taylor at 6,700. I think he is a guarantee make the cut with his history here. He is one of those guys. He is a career PGA Tour guy. I think he's been on tour now like 20 years. He's one of those guys that he continues to keep his car because there are certain venues that every year he makes the cut, has a top 20, top 30 performance at a few events, and that's what keeps his car. This is one of those for Vaughn Taylor at 6,700. I love him. So those are my DraftKings plays.
Yeah, Vaughn Taylor will probably be in my list for long shot plays to outright win and also to hit the board as a prop.
He's good. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, I know people hate to talk politics, but I'm still out here trying to expand and the Mod Pod will be back, probably tomorrow. Just trying to
hate partisan on politics. And that's what I like about this podcast, though. It's not partisan.
Yeah.
It's
And I will say Trump has dominated the early podcast because that's pretty much what the headlines was about, but I'm working on trying to format it a little bit more so we can talk more about the current events as they happen. I just have to work around this three-year-old's bedtime schedule. But also be on the lookout for our college football the NFL draft breakdown. I'm going to do that with one of the guys from our group. We're going to do it in a podcast format and a print format. We'll actually be starting with quarterbacks this Sunday. We should be putting out something with the quarterbacks this Sunday.
Talking about Justin Fields, Falcons, please.
I don't know exactly where he's going to go. I will say that, I put a lot of time into that stuff, especially when I'm talking about evaluating like some of the players. So obviously I'm not a pro, but you can guarantee that I've spent hours and hours and hours. Like, to this day, I can tell you every single snap that Carson Wentz took when he was at in college. Every snap that
Dude, you ain't gotta say, you're modest. I'm not for you. Yes, you're not a professional in the sense that you're not getting paid currently to give your draft analysis. But trust me, this dude is insane with how much stats, tape, all that stuff he watches. There's nothing analytical that Alan – I mean, there's nothing Alan says that doesn't have an analytical slant to it. And we're moving to that way in sports. So I definitely trust your judgment. And then the NBA podcast still going,
right? Yeah, and then the NBA podcast, we do have that coming out. We've been doing every 2 weeks just so we can kind of give storylines.
Pace yourself.
Yeah. But, you know, as the season gets tighter – and we get closer to the playoffs, we'll probably start doing one weekly.
Great. Well, and also I just want to, again, Ivy Sports Podcast Network, that is on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor. Alan just mentioned several podcasts on there. Plus, me and RC do a WandaVision recap every week after the episode. We try to do that on Monday. Team Turnbuckle, the wrestling podcast, we'll be getting together later this week, talk about the NXT pay-per-view. And then there's we're providing all this free content. You should definitely take advantage of it. I hope you enjoy this podcast. I hope you enjoy us being back. If you do, please take the time to rate and review. Like, that's so huge for us. And share. Like, we would appreciate that. But for my man, Alan, I'm Keith Fleming. It's good to be back, man. It is good to be back.
I need winners, as Singletary said. Winners. I need winners.
We'll just play this as we go out.
I do not appreciate this.
I'm trying to saltine you, you know. What can I say?
It's Black History Month, man. Don't do me like that.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm messing with you. It's a good song, man. It's a good song.
All right. We'll see you, everybody.
Take care.